G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm your host, Graham Curry, from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss now for over a year. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what that journey has been like. I also wanted to give you some information about intermittent fasting, talk to people that are doing it, and bring in some experts in the field, including some leading authors of some great books about the subject. Talk about the highs, the lows, the triumphs, the celebrations, the negatives, the positives, and everything in between. Nothing is a silver bullet, as they say, but intermittent fasting is about the closest thing that you can get to a perfect health plan with a side effect of weight loss. So sit back in the next few weeks and enjoy life on the fasting highway with us. Thank you. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and this is episode 9. So today it's my great privilege to be able to talk to John Jerry Saunders Jr., and JJ is from Columbus, Ohio, in the United States of America. And JJ is a popular member of the online Facebook community, Delay Don't Deny, in the One Meal a Day Lifestyle Group, which is run by Jin Stevens, the New York Times best-selling author of Fast, Feast, Repeat. And JJ is known as the master of mindset. Every day he posts in those groups something motivating and uplifting, and his quotes and his meal ideas have become legendary. And JJ is a shining example of this way of life and has been living an intermittent fasting lifestyle for some 6 years now, after suffering a few health setbacks, which he'll tell us about. So welcome to the podcast, JJ. G'day, JJ. Welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Glad to be here.
Oh, thanks, mate. It's a real pleasure for me. And I know how highly respected you are, a member of the intermittent fasting community, and I can't thank you enough. But so if you could just give us a bit of your backstory, mate, that'd be great.
Okay, so basically, I kind of got into the fasting lifestyle back in around 2014 because, unfortunately, I had suffered some health issues over the years. Like many people, had like gained a lot of weight, wasn't taking care of myself, was drinking too much, and unfortunately, it caused me to suffer a stroke. And then subsequently I suffered a second and a third stroke, and fortunately I survived those, and it got my attention, and it was then that I had really decided and committed that I had to make some life changes, and fasting was like my healing panacea and prescription that I latched onto and has gotten me through. I'm soon to turn age 61 next month.
Wow. Was there anything in particular that induced the stroke, do you think, Jerry, apart from the lifestyle, or did it just sort of come on you out of the blue?
I think it was just a confluence of culture and lifestyle. Just eating all through the day. I worked in a corporate setting, you know, lots of alcohol, happy hours, just all of it. And, you know, when, you know, I'm a tall guy, I'm 6'3", but, you know, even once my weight got over like 320, 330 pounds, you know, it was basically just too much for my body to bear without having a repercussion, and it manifested itself in the form of a stroke. And I'm blessed to this day that it didn't take me out like it does many people.
Yeah, man, I'm blessed. I'm really glad it didn't either, because you're a great person and we need you here. And so when you started intermittent fasting, JJ, what did your fasting protocol actually look like? How did you start and how did you progress?
When I first started, I started just like the most basic of fasting protocols, which was a 12 and 12. And, you know, I would fast from 12 midnight till 12 the next day, which was pretty easy. But in the beginning, me being such just a neophyte to the concept, I was still under the mental concept that, well, if you're going to eat for in a 12-hour window, you need to kind of load up on all this food. So in the beginning, I was still probably eating, you know, 3 to 4 meals a day, even in a 12-hour window.
Yeah. And did you narrow that down? And how long did it take before you got to your sweet spot? And what was that sweet spot?
I would probably say, like, the first 3 months, I kind of dibbled and dabbled and lost a few pounds. But then one day I just finally realized, because usually what would happen at noon, I would probably have like some form of a protein smoothie. And I finally realized that, you know what, I don't even need this protein smoothie. You know, you had to have all the stuff that you were going to mix. You had to stop. You had to fix it and do all that. And it just finally clicked one day that, you know what, I can push that back. And after about that time frame, I was able to push it back and I realized I could get through the day on upwards to 16 or 17 hours without having any food. And I realized then, as we had talked about or discussed earlier, that it was a mindset more than a physical thing, that
yeah.
you realize that your intelligent design would allow you to easily get through the day without any food, and that your body would just really sustain you without having to load up on a bunch of food during the day.
Yeah, and what did your sort of food taste, did they change much, JJ, or you just basically have always eaten what you craved? And what about the alcohol?
Now, the alcohol, I think I finally realized that the alcohol was going to be a hindrance to my body being able to get to the point where it could be in a true fat burning mode. Because, you know, with the presence of alcohol in your body must burn the alcohol first. Then your body must burn any available glucose in the muscles and in the internal organs. And then after those are bled or burned down, then your body will tap into the fat stores. So I had to learn that if you really have a significant amount of weight to lose, or if you have a lot of stored energy to release, you pretty much have to put on hold alcohol consumption or stop drinking altogether. And I haven't had a single drop of alcohol since 2015. And personally, I don't miss it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same, mate. I used to love a beer and I drank plenty of them. And when I came to intermittent fasting, I just found after a while, my taste with food started to change. And as you know, I was a fast food and sugar addict of the worst kind. And I had to get over that. And I'm lucky I did sort of address that before I came to intermittent fasting. Not because I wanted to do that deliberately, it's just how it worked out. And I found I sort of adapted to fasting better. But JJ, with appetite correction, did you have a massive appetite when you were carrying all the weight? What did your day look like when you were a big guy?
Oh, yeah, I had a pretty good appetite. Of course, it would start in the morning with some form of a loaded coffee beverage. And then that could either be like, you know, donuts or some kind of breakfast sandwich or something like that. And then back then I was still, before I retired, I was working, you know, in a corporate setting as a software test engineer, writing documents. And so then in that sort of corporate setting, in that culture, you know, it was that. And then at lunchtime, it was, you know, more food. You know, we would just load up on whatever the guys would go out get. And then after work, it would be maybe some snacks or something, and then dinner, you know. So it was pretty much eating, you know, large quantities of food all during the day.
Yeah. No off
and
buttons.
not realizing and not realizing that you just simply, you know, could not either burn that or utilize it really in any way.
Yeah, and it's a real mindset shift, and it's something we're going to move into in a minute. But I was thinking about this before I started to talk to you about when I was obese. I sort of got to that tipping point, mate, where I thought, I'm never going to be anything else but obese. I'm just going to be this size forever, because I got to that point where I got so huge, I just didn't think there was any way back. Did you ever feel like that, that you thought, this is just how I'm going to be?
Yeah, there was a time where, you know, I just felt like I was just always going to be big JJ, you know, and you just couldn't wrap your mind around being able to drop those pounds, because just a lifetime of eating habituations and the cultural influence, the commercial influences, and the influences of your family just had you so, like, you know, just preset, you know, to eat that way. So yeah, there was a time when I just thought, man, this is really an uphill climb. But when I had those health issues that I spoke of, the strokes, you know, that really got my attention, and I had to push that much, much harder. So, and that's what really made me realize that it really was, you know, more of a mental amalgamation more than anything.
Yeah. And sort of what drew you to intermittent fasting? How did you actually find out about it in those early stages?
You know, I actually found out about it from a friend of mine about 5, 6 years ago who had always naturally done it. And when I had told him about, you know, what I was going through, he was just like, hey, you got to research and look up fasting. And he says it'll help you to drop the weight. But even back then, he said, most importantly, it will allow your body and your brain to heal itself.
Yeah. And you've definitely done that. And as we said in the intro, you've been doing this now 6 years, JJ, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's about 6+ years now. Yes.
Wow.
The time. And, you know, when I always tell people that the journey goes by fast. You know, the goal is to live and to be energized. And you just realize how fast, it even amazes me when I think back how fast these years have clicked by. It took me 2 full years to drop just a little over 100 pounds, to go from about 330 to about my maintenance weight now, which is around between 220 and 230 at any given time. It took me 2 years to do that. And now I've been in maintenance for over 4 years.
Wow, that's amazing. That's roughly, you're 6'3" and about
yes.
222. Yeah, I'm 6'5" and I'm roughly around that too. So,
right,
mate, in the early stages, when did you get to the point where you were convinced? When did you actually think to yourself, I am going to do intermittent fasting for the rest of my life?
I think it was probably getting towards the end of year one, when I had dropped, you know, like close to 48 or 50 pounds. And I realized that it was a sustainable way of life, and that, you know, you didn't have to do it like as a diet, that you could still pretty much eat what you wanted within reason. But also in that first year, I realized that your taste would change too. You know?
Yep.
Like just once in a while, even to this day, will I eat like quote unquote processed fast food. You know, I prefer to create, to cook, you know, and eat lots of greens and vegetables and greens and colorful food. I would never call myself a vegetarian or vegan or anything like that, but there are many days where I won't have any meat at all, and that's okay.
Yeah. And you're pretty famous for your meal pictures and that you post in the Delay Don't Deny Facebook groups and the One Meal a Day lifestyle. And you take so much time and pride in how you present it. And I always love the color. And I know I've stolen quite a few of your photos and I've tried to recreate them. They somehow never quite come out because that's my poor cooking skills. But when do you sort of start thinking about that in your day, and how does that come to you?
You know, it's over the years, you kind of find your own creative groove. I really don't spend all day thinking about, you know, what I'm going to have later on that day. I just kind of let it come to me.
Yep.
Some days it's something simple. And then other days, like, I'll see something and then it'll just come to me. And I was like, well, if I put these simple ingredients together, you know, because I like to keep it simple, like anywhere from a 20 to 40 minute prep, you know, and then I just go from there. But lately I've really been trying to keep it like a lot of greens, a lot of veggies, a lot of colorful things. And then every couple of days I may have some meat or chicken or fish. I don't eat as much red meat as I used to, but if I want to have if a day and it strikes me and I want to have some red meat, or if I want to have some bacon or something like that, I go ahead and have it. I have learned not to deny myself anything, but your tastes do change over the months, and your tastes definitely change over the years.
Yeah, for sure. And I know it sort of took me a few months, and my changes in my food style really did come about. And I became a complete food snob after the first 2 years. And now for me, it's just got to be worthy. And I keep my eyes on my own plate, JJ, and I don't judge anybody for what they have. And I think I'm a big believer in you should have what you crave. Otherwise, you're going to end up not being successful, because this is a lifestyle. And for it to be sustainable, you've got to be able to make your own personal individual choice. And do you feel that way?
Absolutely. You know, my saying is that, like, when I remember talking to Jen, I said, only you can legislate your plate.
Yeah, okay? I love that.
And so everyone has to decide, you know, what they want to eat, what's going to work for them, you know, downright to, like, is it going to be like one plate, or is it going to be five courses? You have to decide all that. It's your rodeo. And once you get a groove of how you want things to flow, then you can meet your goals.
Yeah.
You can meet, even after I got Jen's latest book, which is Fast Feast Repeat, you know, it even pushed me to the point where now, where I've just been experimenting most days was just having one plate of food a day and a dessert.
Yeah. And so right from the very start, the clean fast, and we know how important that is. And I really want to spend a couple of minutes talking to you about this, because I know you're a strong advocate of it. And we really need to get that message across about the clean fast. And can you just let people know, in your words, why it is so important?
Well, first of all, I just want to say unequivocally, I will tell anyone that if it's not clean, you're not fasting. So this notion that I'm dirty fasting, or there's really no such thing as a dirty fast. Okay. So it's cut and dry. It's black and white. You're either fasting or you're not.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's got to be water. It's got to be black coffee. Or it's got to be a clean tea, nothing added. So this is a lifestyle where you're committed to healing yourself. It's not just about weight loss, okay? So when people say that they were dirty fasting, no, actually what they were in some form of what I like to call calorie restriction, okay? And that can work for some people. But you can't just sit there and say that I was fasting, because that's not what you're doing. You want to have the total healing, holistic benefits of actually fasting. And that's so important. That's what actually will allow your body to heal itself.
Yeah.
And allow you to keep control over your lifestyle.
Yeah, I agree, mate. And you've got to have that time for that magic of the clean fast to work. And for me, I love it when I'm clean fasting, because I feel like it's just cleansing the inside of my body. And on during the day, I just get that energy buzz and the mental clarity from it. And I'm not interfering with that process. And I say to people, it's like you spend all day fasting and your body's cleansing itself. And then it takes out the trash and then you refeed it with some nutritious stuff in your window at the end of the day. And the next day you repeat. And it's so simplified. And I wonder, mate, where are we going to go mainstream with this? And I know one of the things that I really have a problem with is with obese people, they're just getting all the wrong sort of signals from some of the medical professional. And do you find that frustrating that we know how great this lifestyle is and how it could be a frontline answer to the obesity epidemic, yet it isn't?
Right. I can envision a time where a person will go to their doctor and a doctor will write them a prescription to incorporate a clean fasting protocol into their life as a part of a healing instrument to get you back to your health goals. Because as we both know, when you are truly fasting, your body goes through autophagy. And like you said, it's taking out the trash. It's the new cells are created and it eats the old cells. It changes your DNA. It allows your body to reincarnate. It changes your DNA. It gives you the physical energy and the mental clarity. And I try to explain to most people that our bodies first and foremost are energy storage silos. Okay. And that intelligent design was based on the fact that you may have to withstand the harshest of a famine. But you and I both know that the way we live and the availability of our food in our world and culture that we exist in, fortunately, we're never going to have to have any kind of a harsh famine or go through it. So you have to make the food scarce yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think when people say to me too about intermittent fasting, they say, oh, that must be so hard that you only eat that once a day. And how do you go through all that process? And it's not until you really start explaining some of the health benefits. And for you, in that first year, JJ, apart from the weight loss, what were some of the health benefits and the NSVs that were stacking up for you that became more convincing?
Well, especially for me, I noticed my vision got better.
Yeah, me too.
I had less, the brain fog slowly lifted, okay? And then also, I realized at that time, I don't know, I was like 55, that my physical energy increased exponentially, okay? Big difference. I even, after that second year, I had more energy like at age, 57 than I did back when I was 40.
Yeah, amazing.
Because when we think about it, life is all about energy and we need the energy to do the things that we like to do. I always like to say, get out and play, because we work so that we can play and go do the things that we like to do with those that we love and care about the most. And we need the energy to do that. And fasting is that tool that will give you that energy and keep us around. I was talking to a friend not too long ago, and he says, well, what's your long-term fasting goal? And I laughed and said, well, I'll see you in 2050.
Yeah, that's amazing. And speaking of your family, mate, in that first sort of year or two, how did your family and friends accept what you were doing? And did it fit in sort of with your community and your culture, intermittent fasting, or how do people look at it?
You know what? At first, there were a lot of questions because not just but I was an avid regional bowler. So, when I started dropping the pounds, people would notice, especially in the second year when I had dropped 100 pounds and people were like, oh, my God, some people who hadn't seen you, maybe they would ask you questions like, are you okay? Are you sick? You look good, but they were just so used to seeing you as your former self. And then, you know, you're going to get it all over the map. Some people would say, are you starving yourself? Other people would say, is that healthy? Other people would just marvel and says, there's just no way I can wrap my mind just around eating like one meal a day. But then once you really go into some details and explain it to most people, you know, they pretty much understood. My family was always supportive. They respected it. Like if there's a special occasion or a special function or something, you know, they would just say, hey, are you eating or are you just going to, we're going to make you a plate for later.
Yeah.
So, but you do pretty much have to teach people and let people know that this is my life and that I respect your lifestyle. You respect my lifestyle, because some people will try to talk you out of it and they will talk about things that they don't know about it. And, you know, I even have one friend that always sees me and he says, you look good, John, but are you still on that starvation diet? And I said, I sure am.
Yeah. Funny enough, I have a friend like that too, mate. And I was just talking not long ago, actually, to Charlie Cifarelli. And I was telling him about, I had some friends that decided they were going to have a weight loss intervention for me. And funny, two of those friends now are both doing intermittent fasting and doing very well. And did you find some of the people that may be a bit negative, or, you know, they weren't really sure? And have you got many people around you now in your circle that are doing intermittent fasting?
Absolutely. I have like a 30-year-old son who's pretty much switched. He started off, I told him to try going to a 2-MAD. And then just maybe after about a month, he said, Dad, I think I can just do one meal a day. So he does it. And then I have a son who's a staff sergeant in the Army, and he's come around to doing it. And also his wife, they're pretty much into the intermittent fasting protocol. Wow. I've got some other friends, you know, who have hit me up and I've gave them some guidance. And one of my friends, he's already dropped about 40 pounds, you know, in about 8 months. And he says it's basically done changed his life. So we're slowly getting the word out to anybody that will listen or anybody that has any questions, and just trying to, you know, maintain my presence in the group and just to encourage people on any and every level.
Yeah. And I think that's so great, mate, that you do have that passion. And I know when I wake up, and I just need to tell you this, that over my own journey, you've been so helpful and kept me on track many days when I've read your great quotes. And I wake up in the morning here in Australia and I log in and have a look, and there you are, and your smile is beaming out. You're usually out somewhere playing. Now, let's talk about that, JJ. What did exercise look like for you before you found intermittent fasting? And I know it's a huge part of your life now. Can you just tell us about why it's important and why it's good to get out and play?
Well, because you really realize that all of life is about play, and that it's a mental mindset. Okay, so it's just like we work so that we can get out and play, and play doesn't necessarily mean, you know, going outside or running or going to the gym or doing anything. It's anything that you want to do that's sort of like therapeutic to you. You know, I like to say that I can, you know, fasting is my yoga. You know, so it's the concept and the mindset. Now, for me personally, now I like to get out and walk at least for an hour today, every day possible. I get up in the morning. It's been like over 2,200 straight days. I get up in the morning and do a couple of push-ups in the morning. I do that to keep my strength up and also to keep the skin tight. You know, because I think that was one of the things I was afraid of when I dropped all the weight. You know, a lot of times people would have like a lot of loose skin because I was so big for so long. And so that was my motivation and my discipline for getting up, you know, just doing a few push-ups every morning, you know, and I just do, you know, a few reps every morning, nothing what people would consider crazy. You know, sometimes it may be 4 or 5, sometimes it may be 8 or 12, but it's just a consistency, you know.
Yeah. Mate, when you look at you, when I look at your pictures, JJ, you look like you're so ripped. Tell us about the body recomposition and when did that sort of start happening? Because you seriously look like a guy that's in the gym all day pumping iron and you are in unbelievable shape.
Yeah, you know, really, and I would say that it really started to happen going into year three when I just realized that fasting will pretty much get you in shape by itself. And that if you do a little bit of just consistent exercising, you don't have to do a lot. It will like remold your body. I like to call it an aerodynamic fortified upgrade.
That's the way I
like to do it. And if you just put in just a little bit of consistent work, you know, it will look like somebody who's just, you know, in the gym. And because people always ask me, aren't you going to the gym and spending a couple hours in the gym every day? And it's like, no, I don't even go to the gym.
Yeah.
But then again, I understand that my protocol is not for everybody. You know, everybody doesn't have that mindset that they're going to get up and do a couple of push-ups or something like that every single morning. But it's like my cup of coffee.
Yeah, and that's the discipline and focus that you have and the mindset.
And that same discipline and focus.
Yeah.
In my fast, it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. You're just applying that to it. And I know with exercise, I don't know about you, JJ, but when I was obese, I hated exercise, and I'm pretty sure that's why I failed on most diets, and I tried a lot of them, where I tried to exercise a bit. I was doing this calorie in, calorie out, all the rest of it. And I just got sick of it because when I was so obese, trying to exercise was a drag. And when I got the weight off, when I got up about 100 pounds, I started to enjoy it and I started walking. And one day I was out on the running track walking, and it was like a scene from Forrest Gump. All of a sudden, I started running. And I seriously didn't really even know that I could run. And I kept running. And I thought, this is amazing. I can actually run now. And I just started to love it. And then I went and bought a rowing machine and I started rowing. And I loved that. And then I went down to the local pool and I couldn't swim to save my life. And I did about 4 or 5 months training. And I ended up doing 30, 40 laps of an Olympic pool, fully fasted, highballing, and I was just blown away, mate. And I love exercise now, but all I can say to people is, at the start, I believe that you should concentrate more on the food than the exercise to try and get the weight off and then do the exercise and let that body recomposition work for you. And it's funny, mate, I'm starting to notice now too where I looked at myself in the mirror the other day and I thought, I'm starting to get a couple of abs there, and I don't think I've ever seen abs in my life. And I think that's just been a natural progression.
I agree 100%. I tell people, just get out and play. If you just fast and walk every day, that's more than enough. But then as time goes on, then you're going to want to do some other things. I mean, join a yoga class or join a swim club. Or even if you do want to, you know, join a gym or something, where I tell people, just formulate your own routine. And you don't even have to do it every day like I do. If you just want to do a couple of push-ups one day and a couple of bodyweight squats one day and do a couple of planks another day, or just stretch. But fasting itself will get you in superior shape. It will.
And where you live.
It really
where you
works.
Live, JJ, is there certain periods of the year because of weather you can't get out a lot to do your walking and stuff?
Right. We have here in Columbus, Ohio, we have the full regalia of season. So there's maybe, I would say, from December, January, February, you know, it may be anywhere from below freezing to below zero. And I live right next to a 600-acre forest and woods with hills and trails and all of that. And on the days that I can't get out to do that, I just get on the floor and just formulate my own routine.
Yeah, just use your own body weight, that body resistance training to do that.
Exactly. That's all you need. That's all you need. I joke and was telling a friend of mine, they caught me doing push-ups at work one day, you
Huh.
know, on my break.
Mate, I need
You
to
know.
ask you, obviously 2020 has been a tough year and it's been a horror year for a lot of people. How do you find that sort of affected? I know you have a very good mindset and there's a lot of people out there that are struggling with it. What sort of advice would you have for people that are struggling with the lockdown and the COVID and the stress of all that and it's affecting their daily fast?
You know what? I actually have used this unprecedented time to my advantage. I said, well, this is probably a time for me to like really maybe step it up another notch, really like increase my immunity, see if I can maybe fast just a little bit stricter. So that's kind of like one of the reasons why I had kind of started limiting myself to like just one plate of good food a day after sundown and the dessert if I wanted. And I was even a little skeptical, but it's easier. Just for example, like yesterday I had one big bowl of soup and that filled me and I skipped my dessert and that's all I had until what I had
Wow.
today. And it was and it was easy and seamless.
Yeah.
And I had the same amount of energy and clarity. You know, it's funny too, you know, when I go into my job, they have to take our temperature. And they laugh at me because I come in and my temperatures are always around 93 or 94 degrees. Oh man.
Yeah. You know, I read this study the other day, JJ, that was saying that obese people that got COVID were probably at more than 50% risk of death than non-obese people. And that really blew me away. I thought, wow. And I suppose that's the lung capacity and everything else they're talking about there.
Well, yeah, that too. And then also, it really makes you understand the stress of being obese has not just on your exoskeletal structure, but also on all your internal
organs. Yep.
And so I just think, I don't know it for a fact, but I just think that when you're obese, especially people that are morbidly obese, you know, the COVID can go in and just shut down organs much more easily because when you're obese, your body is always fighting against itself. People don't realize that, but obesity is war within the
yeah,
body.
Yeah, it is. And I know when I was obese, I used to, every sort of flu season, I'd get the flu quite often. And after about a year of intermittent fasting, or not even that, I hardly, very rarely ever get sick, JJ. I hardly ever get a cold or a flu or nothing. And I really feel like it's supercharged my immune system. Do you feel like that?
Absolutely. You know, the last 4 years, I've barely had a cold or anything. It was weird. I think about 6 months ago, I had a bad toothache. And then out of nowhere, the toothache just went away.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, but I don't get sick. I don't get the cold, the flu, you know, or anything like that. I'm just always making sure I can breathe deeply and I just feel good fasting. That's the thing. The mindset, you got to have that. But when you get into the fasting lifestyle, you just know that you just feel better and life is just less stressful.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up mindset there, JJ, because I know that's a real strength for you and you can be very helpful in the back half of this podcast. We'll move into that now. And so for me, mindset was all about how I started thinking about others, how I started thinking about myself and learning to love myself first. And also for me, it was about belief, believing in what I was doing, believing where I was going with it. And making that switch from getting the negative thoughts out and turning them into positives. And like you just mentioned with this unprecedented time, and I thought, well, okay, if I'm locked down here, what can I do? So that's one of the reasons I started this podcast. I thought, well, that could be useful. And then I've been writing a book about my journey and I got stuck into that and I finished it off. And my book's going to be coming out on Amazon in a few weeks' time. And I'm hoping it can help some people. But so, yeah, I agree with you. So can you just talk to me about mindset and how it works for you, how it's changed, and how you think that people should apply it to fasting?
Well, it's like anything else in life. I like to use the term, there is no other. The mindset is everything, okay? And to help kind of augment your mindset, what you have to do is you have to have like a plan. A lot of times I encourage people to put pen to paper and write down a routine. And then once you write it down, you see it, you visualize it, you verbalize it, then you have to move beyond just saying, well, I'm motivated. Because I found that when you say you're motivated, you got to feel a certain kind of way. And nobody feels a certain kind of way all the time. But when you apply the discipline, then that you know, other than being incapacitated in some way, shape, or form, you're going to apply that discipline. You're going to fast every day. You're going to get out and you're going to move around, even if it's just briefly every day. And you can't let anything stop you. And that's just simply a mindset.
Yeah, that's just making that change, isn't it? And it's like when people say to me, oh, you know, and you read about it all the time too, they're on Struggle Street. And I say to the people that I help, okay, here's three questions for you about you being on Struggle Street. Are you fasting clean, number one? And number two would be, right, is this, what's your mindset like? Are you in that diet mentality, or are you switching into where you want intermittent fasting to be a lifestyle? And the third thing I ask them is you need time. And I know you're a big believer, JJ, in order for us to critique our intermittent fasting journeys, I'm the same as you. I believe you've got to give it 6-12 months and then sit down and do an evaluation. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. You know, I'm sure you've read many times when people say that I'm on the struggle bus or this or that or other. And then it's usually somebody who says, I've been doing this for X amount of weeks or maybe just a pair of months. And I say, you got to put in the effort. You got to be in the time, you know, keep flexing your fasting muscle, give it a year, and then have a critical self review.
Yeah. And you also need to make that change, don't you? Tweak it as you go.
You got to tweak it as you go. Because I said over the time, your food cravings are going to change. So you're going to have to allow for that. When special occasions come up, go ahead and embrace it. But then just go right back to your fasting lifestyle. And one of the really important things is you have to ditch the mindset. Do not deny yourself anything, because your taste are going to change, and your appetite over time is going to correct itself. It's going to happen.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you and I.
You will get to your maintenance mode set point a lot faster than you realize. That 2 years went by really quick for me.
When did you sort of recognize that you got to sort of that set point, JJ? Did you just feel comfortable in your own skin or around then?
I just felt comfortable in my own skin. I could tell that my energy level was where I wanted it to be, and that fasting had moved beyond just a mindset. It was basically second nature. It was truly, truly a way of life for me.
Yep.
I look forward to that. I look forward to that just as much as I do getting out and playing. You know, it was like hand in hand. It was like fasting truly is our wingman. Yeah. And I always joke, hey, nothing travels better than fasting.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for me, the loving myself first was the step change, because for years, JJ, I didn't love myself. I loved my addictions and I loved the food. And once I started respecting myself and believing in myself and saying, you know what, you are okay. I look in the mirror in the morning and I say, today's going to be a great day. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to embrace life. Instead of being down on myself and thinking about negative things, and I started making that switch, and I started talking to myself more positively. I learned to love myself first. And then once I started developing that, not in an egotistical way, but in a way that I respected what I was doing, I respected the people around me more, I spoke to people in a much more positive fashion than I was used to. I carried myself better. I walked tall. I mean, I was a big guy, 6'5". And my wife said in episode one, I used to walk around. I was always stooped over because I was almost embarrassed to walk tall. But now intermittent fasting has given me that confidence and to do that. And how do you feel about your confidence is growing? How has that changed over the years?
Well, it's changed exponentially. Like you, I was always a tall guy. Kind of, when we walk into a room, we kind of stand out. But now it's a totally different, level of confidence. Okay, and I'm comfortable around any people, any situation. I'm totally comfortable. I'm always seeking to talk to people to learn from them. Maybe they can learn something from me. But the one thing that I find myself always doing now, even through these unprecedented times, is I'm always seeking, trying to connect that next dot of positivity.
Yeah.
Okay. And it makes a big difference.
It does, mate.
It makes
and
a
you've
big
got to
when you seek it, you keep finding, even if it's just a little niblet, giblet, or pebble of positivity, keep connecting those dots. And fasting gives me that confidence and that freedom and that fuel just to keep doing.
Yeah, and it's important to note, too, that when you do have negative people in your life or they surround you, you don't have to be in that circle. Step away from the negativity. Don't sit there and take that. And I read about a lot of people saying, oh, how do you deal with that? And these people at work have been mean to me. Well, for me, you just do you. And you don't worry about anyone else. And don't compare yourself to others. And comparison's the thief of joy. Just be you and do you for you.
Absolutely. I found out that, the few times now when, you have like some negativity or negative people around you, like you said, when you're just yourself, they seem to kind of like shrink away because they see that you're not going to buy into their victimhood, and that your self-love, cannot be penetrated.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing I think is important to sort of talk about, JJ, that even though you and I have both lost over that 100 pounds, which is a lot of weight, but we had a lot of weight to lose. So there's some people that might only have 5 or 10 pounds to lose or 20 pounds to lose. And, not everybody is the same. So it's important to note that intermittent fasting is not all about weight loss. It's about so much more. It's about the health benefits. It's about the well-being. It's about the mental health. And for you and I as men, and we know what it's done for our mental health. I mean, things like supercharging libidos and all that is a real thing.
Absolutely. It's like night and day. I've had male friends come to me and they ask me, what do I need to do to recharge my love life, to give myself more energy? And I just straight up with them, hey, you got to start fasting. You got to cut back on the meat. You got to change your mindset. You just got to be more confident. And fasting as a tool, as your wingman, will give you that. Like I said, I'll turn 61 next month, and I have so much more energy now than I did when I was 39 or 40 years old.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. How do you feel that you're going to go forward now with intermittent fasting? What sort of things do you want to do? Is it something you want to do, some coaching with people, or you just want to continue what you're doing in the groups and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm going to coach. I'm going to look at maybe writing some form of I'll call it an intermittent fasting pamphlet and some cooking ideals along with just some of my life philosophies. It's going to be a hybrid of those things. It may include some ideals of how you want to exercise and the importance of bending your reality. So it's going to be something that includes all of that. Now, I've got some other ideas that I'll tell you about when I'm ready to spring them that I'm also working on. So I've got some things in the pipeline that I'm
working on.
Yeah,
I think that's fantastic. And I'm telling you what, mate, if you wrote a book about your journey, about intermittent fasting, about how you deal with the meals and the ideas you have, I would be the first person standing in line to buy it, because I think you're such a great advocate for this lifestyle. And I know so many people hang off your words. And these quotes that you come up with so often, how do they come to you? Is that something that you sort of always been interested in?
It's you know what? I think part of it is because I have a background that I was a software test engineer, but I was also a technical writer. And so for maybe 15 years, I was a wordsmith. So I was always having to write. And so it kind of gave me the gift to write. And I was able to, over time, just come in with my own philosophies. And then I would just apply some of the words and sayings that would come to me for the fasting lifestyle. And I was just like, well, maybe if it, you know, encouraged just one person just to see it through and just to keep grinding and to keep seeking that wellness, well, then it's a good
yeah.
thing.
I always think about those quotes when I see them in your posts, and I think, how great would it be to have those on your desk every day? Like, you know, you have those calendars, you turn over and there's a different quote.
I've thought about the two, and I've got a whole bunch to choose from that I've collected and saved and archived. So I'm going to put like some of those together with like just a, not a deep book about fasting, but I'll call it more of a fasting pamphlet and some things about cooking and some things about mindset and philosophies and all that. I'm going to like put all those collectively together and shake it up and come out with something a little bit
different.
Oh,
that'd be great, mate. And I'd really love you to come back on the show when you get that out and we'll talk about it. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, JJ, is around the science of IF. For me personally, I don't really drill down into the science a lot. I'm more about living it, and I'm more about me being the experimenter one, me being the guy that's in the lab doing this. How do you feel about the science, and is it something you seek out and you drill into a lot?
You know what? I do a little bit. So like one of the interesting things that I'm finding out that they're doing in some other countries is they will put people in what they call a medically supervised 5-day fast with like a saline solution drip and put them in a hospital bed, no food, and let the body just heal itself.
Yep.
And let the immune system just reset itself.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. There's a study just started here in Perth, actually. It was on the news, and they're going to take night shift workers in the hospital, and they divided them into three groups, and they're going to put them on different sort of diets, they called it, and one of them is intermittent fasting. So they're going to see how these three different wards on the night shift respond to it. And yeah, it's going to be quite interesting. Now we're hearing about it more every day, and obviously intermittent fasting is becoming very popular. But another thing that's sort of crept up, I've noticed in these groups, I don't know if you have, is the chat about alternate day fasting, which seems to be becoming very prevalent. Is that something you get involved with, JJ?
You know, no. It's sometimes, to me, my perception with the alternate day fasting is it seems to, for some people, to take on more of a diet mentality. Like, some people get a little impatient, or they hit a plateau or whatever, and they need something to kind of bump them along. And it can be a healing tool, but I guess I'm kind of like old school with it. I just subscribe that, hey, if you get a plate of food after sundown every day, your body's going to heal itself. You're going to be energized. You're going to have clarity. And it's more than enough to sustain you. I like to eat every
yeah,
day.
Me too, mate. I've only ever gone past 23 hours once, and that was purely by accident, where I got home really late and I just thought, oh, you know what, I can't be buggered. I'm going to go to bed. And I ended up fasting about 36 hours or something like that. And the next day I thought, I don't really want to do that. But again, like us keeping our eyes on our own plate, we have to respect all the various protocols and what people choose to do, whether they do 24, 16, 8, 12, 12, ADF, EF. That's entirely up to them, as it's a personal choice. But I had Rachel Arwood on the show, actually, JJ, and she gave a great explanation of alternate day fasting. And for me, the only thing I have about it is do it for the right reasons. Do it for the health reasons that it will bring.
You're absolutely right. And another thing that I've gotten away from is I don't live by the scale at all. I might weigh myself twice a year. I weigh myself in January and then again in June. But yeah, I don't. So many people live by the scale, and it ends up turning fasting into some form of a punishment. Because if you're not getting what you think you should be getting out of the deal or out of the efforts, and then you step on the scale, it's like punishment and failure. So no, you need to seek this for healing, wellness, energy, clarity, libido, and a life-sustaining trajectory.
Yeah, I think that's,
the scale doesn't mean anything.
I think that's great advice, JJ. And I suppose the scale for me has always been an accountability partner, which I've just always had, because I didn't weigh for years. I had no idea what I weighed, JJ, because we never had a scale that could actually weigh up to my weight. So I never stepped on it. And I never really got sick, or I never really went to a doctor, or I wasn't in hospital. So I didn't really know what my weight was until I started taking it seriously, leading up to when I addressed my sugar and fast food addictions. And I had no clue. And for me now, I sort of have the mindset of, if I'd had weighed a lot more during my life, I don't know if I would have got as heavy as I did. And that's how I think about it.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand that. And it's just one more thing. It's a tool, but so many people, I feel, live and die by every pound on the scale. And I just don't think that that's mentally healthy. But it is a viable tool. And if you choose to use it, and you can use it in the right way for the right reasons, it's just like fasting itself. Some people can do good on a 16-8. Some people probably can get away with a 12-12. I need more. I probably need in that 18 to 22 hour range of fasting most days. Not every single day, but most days.
Yeah, I feel the same way. So, JJ, we're going to wrap it up in a minute, but if there's somebody out there that's struggling and wants to get into intermittent fasting, and they're sort of listening to this thinking, how are they going to do it? What sort of words of motivation do you have? And if you could go back that 6 years, what would you say to yourself, knowing what you know now?
I would just encourage them, first and foremost, is to have a plan, to put pen to paper, and just write down, starting out, a number of hours that you want to fast every day, and be disciplined and execute that, and then start to slowly push back. Make sure that you eat what you want so that you don't fall into any diet mentality, because your taste will change over time. And just to keep seeking the positive dots and keep seeking wellness. And the rest of it will take care of itself.
Oh, that's,
the inches, scale, all that stuff. It will take care of it'll take care of itself. You'll know when your clothes are just falling down and you got to go get some nice new looking clothes. Like I see you've been wearing, we just go get new, nice looking clothes.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm a big believer in that. Like, when your clothes start getting loose on you, get them out the door. And a lot of people, including myself, I used to keep piles of clothes. I had about 5 different clothes sizes in my wardrobe at one stage, where I thought, well, if I was this fat, I could wear that one. If I'm that fat, I could wear that one. And if I'm that fat, I could wear that one. And now I refuse to live like that, JJ. I just have one set of clothes that fit me well and that I love. And yeah, I'm at that point now where I'm not buying as many clothes, because all the clothes I have fit me. But anyway, mate, it's been fantastic. I really would love it if you'd come back and chat again. We've got so much to talk about. But thank you so much for joining us here on the Fasting Highway.
Man, it was great. I've always been looking forward just to chopping it up with you. And definitely, I want to come back and chop it up with you again tomorrow, man. Okay?
Yeah, thanks. And keep safe, brother. And thanks so much. In regards to all your family over there.
And the same to you. And tell the wife
I said
hi.
Yeah, thanks, JJ. Take care, man. Oh, that was so good. I really enjoyed that chat with JJ. And I feel like I really connect with him on so many levels and have done now for quite some time. And I really think he does have that really great insight into intermittent fasting, the mindset, and how to make it work over a sustained period of time. And I really do hope he follows up on his coaching career, because I think he'd be so useful for a lot of people out there. Anyway, next week we'll be talking with Isa Humeu. And Isa is from the UK, and she'll be telling us all about her intermittent fasting journey. So until then, stay safe, be well, and we'll talk to you then. And thank you so much for joining us again. Okay, bye. Well, that was great. I really enjoyed that chat with Ryan. What a delightful man he is, and such an amazing transformation that he himself and his wife have gone through together. And their book, Unbelievable Freedom, certainly sums that up in that title. But anyway, on Sunday, coming out in episode 12, we're going to be talking with Sarah Cull. And Sarah is a nurse from New Zealand in Auckland, and she's been doing a lot of work in her medical surgery she works at with patients that are obese with diabetes too, where the frontline treatment is intermittent fasting. And it's a fascinating insight into what can be done by the medical fraternity when it comes to treating obesity and diabetes too. And Sarah's own journey is truly remarkable as well. So join us for that in episode 12, coming out Sunday here on the Fasting Highway. Until then, be safe, stay well, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.